If we'll let Him carry our load, we'll find that what we've got to pack will be a whole much lighter. Amen. That's right. Now, He can carry it a whole lot better than you can. And I just cast it all on Him and let Jesus carry it. And He'll do it too. Amen.
Amen.
I guarantee you, He'll carry your troubles and your trials and every heartache of life that you have. He'll carry it for you. It may be a grief to your heart, but that's right. If need be, we're in heaviness through manifold temptations, what Brother Peter said. But the heaviness, my friend, can be turned into joy.
Amen.
That's right. We're the only people, Christians are the only people in this world that can have a broken heart and be weeping and yet be joyful at the same time. I don't, a sinner can't do that. But a saved person can. I've wept before and been happy in doing it for some reason. And that reason's got to be Jesus. Amen. And I'm glad this morning. Well, let's look in our Bibles again this morning to the Song of Solomon. And chapter number 5. Solomon's Song, as the old timers called it, Canticles. The Canticles. And chapter number 5. And you know, we may be where I'm at. I don't know that we will be. But we may be here for a couple of more weeks yet, at least. And so I'm not going to read. We've read, I think, probably 17 or 18, 19 times this entire chapter. And for the sake of time, we're going to read this morning our text verse that is found in verse number 14. That's all we're going to read and change our way of doing things here a little bit this morning. In verse 14, the Bible said, "His hands are as gold rings set with a beryl. His belly is as bright ivory overlaid with sapphires."
Amen.
Like Brother Wayne said in the Sunday school hour, those sapphires come in many colors, and they're second in durability and hardness only to the diamond. And so let's bow our head for just a moment of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank You, Lord, for the morning hour, for our visitors You've sent our way, and for Your presence. Thank You for the Spirit that I find in the house of God this day, and the joy, Lord, that has filled my heart. I thank You for the singing. I thank You, Lord, for the privilege of preaching the Word of God. Now may You take Thy Word today and quicken it to our hearts. Do a work in our soul that'll bring good to us and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. I ask You to provide the liberty, Lord, that's needed to preach. And may You anoint this vessel again today with the holy oil of the Spirit of God. Endue me, I pray, with Your power, that I might preach the Word of God, provide liberty to worship this morning. And Father, we'll thank You and praise You for every sinner that's saved, for every life that's changed, every heart that's blessed. In Jesus' lovely name, amen and amen. Thank You, and you may be seated. Again, our text verse in verse number 14. The Bible said, "His hands are as gold rings set with a beryl." And our thought this morning will be on the last part of that scripture, where that little bride speaking and giving her estimation of Christ, she is here describing Him, and she says, "His belly is as bright ivory overlaid with sapphires." Now I want to begin this morning a message, and I don't know how I may not preach it again. But I think that I will at least one more time, maybe two, maybe three, and maybe a dozen. But I want to start a message this morning, if God will help me, and preach for a little while on the thought, Christ and His abundant life. Christ and His abundant life. Now, by way of introduction, I want to reiterate that the church here is continuing her effort to describe the beauty and the majesty of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And she says that his belly is, and that is a proper word, by the way, his belly is as bright ivory.
Amen.
Not just ivory, but bright ivory.
Amen.
That which comes from an elephant's tusk. It means to be pointed. It means to be sharp. And I'm glad, thank God, that His Word is pointed. And it is sharp. In fact, it's sharper than a two-edged sword this morning. But it said His belly is as bright ivory, and it is overlaid with sapphires. Now, rather than preach this morning on the ivory and the sapphires in particular, I'll leave that to Brother Smith. He's covering all of these stones in the Sunday school hour. But rather than to preach on them, I want to speak for a little while this morning on the interpretation of this verse in general. Not the belly, not necessarily the ivory nor the sapphire, but what this verse of Scripture interprets for you and I. What does it mean? What was that little bride trying to say when she referred to Christ's belly as being as bright ivory, and then it is overlaid or it's inset with the many different colored sapphires? Now, the word here, belly, as it is used in the Hebrew, means the seat of generation. It is that, my friend, which gives life. The seed of generation, you know, our seed of generation in man is what produces life. And she's referring here to that seed or that seat of generation which produces life. And by the way, I believe that the Bible would agree with us that the belly is the seed of generation or the seed of life. For John, Jesus said in John chapter 7, verses 37 and 38, in that last day, He said, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. That's right. Let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. A man that has truly been saved by the grace of God, if he has been made a partaker of God's divine nature, if he has been regenerated from the loins of the Lord Jesus Christ, then out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. My friend, you can look at it any way you want, but I'm telling you that signifies life. Amen to God. And not just life, but it is the kind of life that Jesus gives. Oh, I'm glad that when I was born again, I became a partaker of His life, and the life which I now live by in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God that loved me and gave Himself for me. And what a life that is. Oh, marvel of marvels. I'm here to tell you, I have never gotten over the kind of life that I now have in the Lord Jesus. It so supersedes what I was living before I was saved. How can a man dead in sin magnify Christ and have a life, my friend, that is glorious? He can't do it. But when we're regenerated from the belly of the Lord Jesus, we have the same life that He had. Hallelujah to God. I won't say by way of introduction, friend, that it's an eternal life. I don't care what our Armenian friends have got to say. They're sincere, but they are sincerely wrong. Son, the seed of Christ remains in us, and we cannot sin because that innermost being, that belly of living water that proceeds from us, has been made partaker of the same life which He has, and He was and is and shall always be the Lord God Almighty. Never has been a time when He was not, and shall never be a time that He is, from everlasting to everlasting. He is God this morning, my friend. Jesus is very God. Hallelujah. In eternity's past, the Son had fellowship with the Father. From eternity's past, He always has been the apple of the Father's eye. In Him is life, the Bible said. And that life is a light of men. And thank God you and I have been made partakers of the divine, eternal, everlasting life that it possesses. The Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now the second word that we see, actually two words. Bright ivory, and then there's sapphires. And both of these are costly. You ever bought a sapphire or something made out of ivory? You will pay through the nose for just a little sapphire. Amen. And just a little ivory. Ivory is so rare that it's quite expensive. It's very costly. And these are signifying the wealth of the life that Christ gives. Oh, my God, He has set us in a wealthy place. We may be poor, but my friend, the Bible said that we possess all things. I'm glad this morning, thank God, that everything that I need is at my fingertips this morning, because my Lord is wealthy, and the life that He has given is a rich life. Hallelujah to God. Oh, come on, help me now. Amen to God. And I believe we find in this verse the abundant life that flows from the very heart, the very being of the Lord Jesus. I'm talking about an abundant life. Brother, He hadn't come to give some old dead, dull, dry-eyed kind of life. Amen. And I'm not referring to the charismatics, name it and claim it. Amen. And neither am I talking about the health and the wealth boys. Amen. But I'm telling you that the life He gives is a rich life. Amen. It far supersedes that old life of sin and sorrow and sitting on bar stools and drinking liquor and smoking dope and chasing women. And hey, and by the way, let every man that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Son, this crowd that claims to be saved and can't get out of the world and depart from sin, they've never been to Calvary and been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. We are to depart from iniquity if we've been to Calvary. Been saved. This mini skirt wearing bunch of hussies today. That's right. This crowd of chasing the wildcats and seek them more than they seek God. They don't need to try to tell me what kind of a life. They're still bound in the same old sin and caught up in the same old life that they lived before they claimed they met the Lord. Hallelujah to God, son. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. We was out there on Benny's land the other day, and a gentleman building across the road from him, selling him some concrete blocks. And the man said well, I don't know about telephone lines or this or that. I forget exactly what he said, but he said they're going to run. Said, they're going to run, you can have satellite out here for your television. And Benny said, I don't have one. He said, oh. Huh? Yeah. What are you saying, preacher? I'm not saying you're lost if you got one, but I'm telling you, friend, that there is a life in the Lord Jesus. Oh, why spend our wheels on worldly pleasures and achievements when we can spend our day fellowshipping in the presence of Almighty God? Hallelujah. The older I get and the more I serve Him, friend, the more time I want to spend in His presence. He is wonderful. Oh, my. He is the everlasting Father. He's altogether lovely. The rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley, the bright and the morning star. And He's given us a life to live, my friend, that we can rejoice in and be thankful for. Amen. Hallelujah. John 10:10. Jesus said, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and destroy."
Amen.
Old Brother Chino in Mexico in August likened that thief to the television.
Amen.
That's right. That's what he preached on. He said,
right.
He said he'll steal your heart and steal the time you ought to spend with God.
Right.
Amen. Said he'll kill you, he'll destroy you.
Amen.
Amen. That's what sin will do. But I'm going to tell you something else. That is what the hurling will do, my friend.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, there's some preachers in the country today. I wouldn't give you a flip of a used booger for that crowd. They're not after you. They're after yours. And I'm telling you right up front, I thank God for the salary I make. But I'm not here after your money. I'm here on behalf of Almighty God. I've got a heavenly assignment into this place, brother. And I didn't come to preach that I might get yours. I come that Christ might have you. Amen to God. Hallelujah. The thief cometh not but to steal and kill and destroy.
Amen.
Jesus said, "I'm come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly."
Amen.
Woo!
Amen.
Woo!
Amen.
Hallelujah to God. From the spiritual graveyard. From the morgue. From the prison cell. From death into glorious light with the liberty of the sons of Almighty God. Hallelujah. Amen. I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. I looked up that little word abundantly. To my amazement, it means beyond measure. More than necessary. You realize that He's given you things, He's given you a life that is more than necessary. Look here, friend. He said, with food and raiment, that we ought to be satisfied. But my goodness, what wonderful blessings and benefits Christ has daily loaded you and I down with. The life He's given is beyond measure. Now, if it's beyond measure, there's nothing in the world you can measure it to.
Amen.
What words can measure that life?
Amen.
Now, I'm getting ready to clean some plows, so just hang in there. What words do I have? What vocabulary does man have that he can rightly, accurately measure that abundant life that God gives us in Christ?
Amen.
There are none.
Amen.
How superior is that life? How far can we reach in it? I don't know. It's beyond measure. I suppose it depends upon the measure of faith that God's given you. Do you have faith to believe God that He's given you a life, my friend, that is not only worth living, but you can live it with joy in the Holy Ghost and gladness of heart?
Amen.
I'm going to go on shouting whether you do or not.
Amen.
I looked in that picture this morning in the messenger.
Amen.
And I'm not saying this to be ugly. Everybody in that picture, Brother Doug, Brother Steve, and Miss Hall, were all smiling. And there stood me and Miss Ruth, looked like Missouri mules eating salt broth. And I said to myself right then, bless God, no wonder our church ain't have a smile on their face. If I look like that in the pulpit to them, God, have mercy on me.
Amen.
I'm going to do something, boy. I ain't living. Oh, no. You know what that is? They call. I've been that way about all my life, but I'm going to tell you this, Parkinson's adding to it. They call it being poker face. I said, that's got to ain't being no poker.
Amen.
No, buddy.
Amen.
God's given me a life to put a smile on my face. A song in my heart. Ring in my step. I've been to Calvary, bless God. Am I going to heaven when I die? What more can I ask for?
Amen.
Now, we come to the question. What is an abundant life? How do we know whether we have one or not? Huh? I cannot preach it one time, one message. It is so vast that if God would open the door, even somebody as ignorant as I am could probably preach 6 months every Sunday morning on it and never touch it.
Amen.
For when we talk about the life, the abundant life that He gives, and out of our belly flowing rivers of living water, we're referring to that same life that came out of His belly that is overlaid with bright ivory. Oh, it's covered, it's inlaid with sapphires, bright, beautiful, glorious, colored stones. Hallelujah to God! How can a man in 6 months describe the life that we have since Christ reached down in the muck and the mire and the filth and the corruption of sin and wickedness and ungodliness down into brokenness and whoreism and whoremongering and dope and cussing and thieving and adultery and fornication and by grace lifted us out? From sinking sand, He lifted me. With tender hand, He lifted me. Oh, praise His name! Christ lifted me! Hallelujah!
Amen.
But what kind of a life is that? How do we know if we're living it? He said He'd come to give it.
Amen.
If He come to give it, then we ought to know what it is. I've got one point this morning. One. And three illustrations of it.
Amen.
Buddy, I believe God laid this on me. And it's a subject that most Baptists just dread to hear a preacher preach on. How can you tell if you have an abundant life? My one point, answered prayers.
Amen. Yes, sir.
I want to ask you this morning. First question at hand, are you praying?
Amen.
We have not because we ask not.
Amen.
Don't blame nobody but you if your life that you're living is spiritually bankrupt, buddy.
Amen.
It's nobody's fault but yours.
Amen.
Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you'll find. Knock and it'll be opened unto you. Call unto me and I'll answer thee and show you great and mighty things that you know not of. Call unto me in the day of trouble and I will deliver you and you shall glorify me. Are you praying?
Amen.
We have not Because we ask not. And we ask that we might consume it upon our own lust. I want, gimme. I want, gimme. Gotta have, gimme. You know, the wealthiest man in all the world in his day, the prayer he prayed was, Lord, give me wisdom. And God gave him wealth and fame and fortune and everything that went with it. And all he wanted to be was wise that he might make right judgment.
Amen.
And we have forgotten, my friend, to seek the lower things, the baser things of life.
Amen.
That we might have great spiritual things from Christ.
Amen.
Answered prayers. We cannot, I repeat, we cannot have an abundant life if we're not receiving from the hand of God, my friend. I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Have you asked Him for it?
Amen.
Now I'm going to tell you something I've run into. Most folks that think they're super spiritual, they're always praying about this and praying about that, and I got to pray, and I'm going to pray, and I'm going to pray. And most of them, when they brag about praying, they don't pray at all.
Amen.
Hanley Milby, as far as I know, I've never heard him brag one time about praying about anything. But I'm going to tell you, you don't have to listen to him preach long to know he's a great man of prayer.
Amen.
Are you listening to him this morning? Answered prayers. Answered prayers. Somebody said, well, what kind of prayers get answered? I just read in Acts 27 where old brother Paul was on the way to Rome and on that ship. And Paul had warned them not to depart because it'd be dangerous. But when a south wind blew, and them supposing that they had obtained their purpose, when they had thought that they had obtained their purpose, they sailed, but the Bible said not long after there arose against it. Against what? Against their purpose. And I'm here to tell you, friend, that there'll always be a strong wind.
Amen.
That'll raise against your purpose if your purpose is not bathed in prayer before Almighty God.
Amen.
You ought to never make a decision for God until you lay with God and bathe that thing in prayer that you might know the will of God about it. Huh? That's right. Now I'm going to tell you something. Now I may get to this a little later, but we need to pray for the minute. We need to pray especially for Brother Ricky over there. He's lost his job and two jobs open, one in Louisville, one in Evansville. And I'm going to tell you what, we better pray that he don't miss God's will. That's right, and I love him, and I don't want him to. And if it's Evansville, Louisville bound, let him be Evansville and Louisville bound, but I sure don't want him to miss God. There arose a tempestuous wind against it, friend, against the purpose they thought they had. And that your rock lid on cropped up. Somebody said, and I don't want to get ahead of myself, but old brother Paul got a prayer answered and got peace in the midst of a storm, friend. Well, yes, he said, there stood beside me an angel of the Lord this night, whom I serve and whose I am. And that angel said, fear not, Brother Paul. Fear not, Brother Paul. For he said, you must go to Rome, and I've given you all the people that sail with you. How was it Paul got that way? Verse 21, but after a long abstinence, Paul stood in the midst of them. I'm talking about in verse 21 of chapter 27 of Acts. After a long, long abstinence, most of us can't pray 2 minutes. Come on the house, children. We ain't done preaching. I'm talking about an abundant life. Hey, circle your little self and ask yourself, when was the last time you actually, truly, for surely, got a prayer answered from God? I'm not talking about saying, Lord, bless the church today. I'm talking about having a specific need and praying for that need and God meeting that need. I'm talking about like Elijah when he prayed that it wouldn't rain and it didn't. And he prayed that it would and it did.
Amen.
An abundant life. Belly like bright ivory overlaid with sapphires. An abundant life. Answered prayer. Look here. When that storm hit, and I want you to listen carefully. When that storm hit in Acts 27, and those men had failed to pray, you know what they began to do? They began to lighten the ship. They began to lighten the ship. And the next day, the Bible said, well, in verse number 17, it said, when they had taken up, they used help to undergirding the ship, fearing lest they should be in the quicksand and so forth. And said, we were exceedingly tossed with a tempest. The next day they lightened the ship.
Amen.
And the third day we cast out with all our hands the tackling of the ship. Amen. Get everything out of it. Look here, I want to show you something. I'm not being unkind. But son, we've tried to empty the ship. We've tried to lighten the load. We've thrown our televisions out. Surely we'll have an abundant life in that. We'll cut our hair just right and get it up off our ears the way it ought to be, men, and we'll lighten the load that way. Our women will put on dresses down to the floor and let their hair grow plumb down to the high knee. We'll lighten the load!
Right. Yes, sir.
And if we'll do that, God will surely bless us. I'm going to tell you when He'll bless us. Son, it's when we seek the Lord with all of our heart, mind, body, and soul and find Him in our life.
Amen.
Now, I'm not saying we ought to omit none of the above. Or we ought to omit any of the above. And I'm here to tell you, friend, look here. Now, get this now. God gave me this. They lightened the ship and throwed out the tackling with their hands. Listen now. Just to try to keep afloat. If they can just stay afloat. I'm going to tell you, and that's sad. My God, that's the saddest thing I've heard of in Baptist churches.
Amen.
We're satisfied with just, we're content with just staying afloat.
Amen.
If we can just float along and keep our head above water. I want to make it just as long as I can get there without drowning. Pitiful little Baptist.
Amen.
Trying to stay afloat. He owns the cattle on a thousand hills.
Amen.
He wrote the music for the whippoorwills.
Amen.
Is he broke today?
No, sir.
Is he powerless?
No, sir.
Is he asleep?
No, sir.
Well, let's go to an extreme. Did God die? Is he alive? Is his ear heavy that he cannot hear? Is his hand heavy that it cannot save? Or shortened that it cannot save? Then tell me what's the problem. We have not because we ask not. They labored just to stay afloat. But in verse number 22 through 25, old Paul said, fear not, friend. Fear not, there stood beside me this night the angel of the Lord, whose I am and whom I serve. And here's what he said. He said, Paul, you must appear before me in Rome also. And he said, brethren, he said, I believe God.
Amen.
I believe God. Just these three things, four things right quickly. Paul received great assurance from the Lord. You know why some of you fiddle-faddle and diddle-daddle around and you wrestle with your salvation today and tomorrow and you worry till you got gray hair over whether you're really saved or whether you ain't? Why you make 75 professions of faith and can't nail it down? You're not a prayer. Son, any man that prays and brings his soul into contact with God will have to know assuredly that he is a child of God.
Amen. Amen.
Assurance. Paul said, fear not, son. I was down below and God spoke to my heart.
Amen.
Have you heard the voice of God? I just heard from heaven. Woo! And it's all right now. Hallelujah to God. That's what Paul was saying. He said, fear not, brethren. I just heard from heaven. And thank God she's all right in the Father's house.
Amen.
Great assurance.
Amen.
Folks wring their hands and worry. Fret, doubt. I'm going to have to hurry. I'm going to make myself out a liar. Verse number 23 said, there stood by me this night. Not only did he receive great assurance, but he was blessed with the Lord's presence.
Amen.
How can we go wrong, friend? How can we go wrong in this life when Jesus is standing beside of us?
Amen.
Oh yes, blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Why? Because he walks with... Well, he walks with me and he talks
Amen.
With me and he tells me I am his own.
Amen.
And the joy we share as we tarry there,
Amen.
None other has ever known.
Amen.
The presence of God.
Amen.
And then the Lord's will was revealed to Paul. Come on the house now.
Amen.
The Lord said, don't worry about this storm, because I've got something in store for you down the road.
Amen.
Oh, I wish I'd have thought about that verse in Isaiah. Is it Jeremiah? It said, before I bring it to pass, I tell thee. Somebody said, I don't know what to do, preacher. If he ain't told you, don't do anything. You will make a mucho mistake if you do anything without the voice of God telling you to do it. Son, there's been more decisions made in our independent Baptist churches without the leadership of God. Paul was praying about a storm, but God's will was all wrapped up in that storm for him. I'm telling you, count it all joy, brethren. But when you enter into divers temptations, God is working in that storm for you. I want to say, fifthly, that Paul's faith was renewed. In verse 25, when he said, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God. Somebody said, how was his faith renewed? Because in verse number 20, he said, when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was taken away. But son, when he got down in the ship's hull, it's getting quiet now, and that's all right. But when he got down in the ship's hull and got alone with God, and God spoke, Brother Paul's faith was renewed, friend. He said, I believe God. I believe God. Let me ask you something. Do you believe God today? Do you believe God's going to carry you through, supply all you need, and give you that abundant life that you've been looking for? I'd say to Billy and Gwen, we need to pray for them. Do a little personal preaching here like I do with some of the rest of you sometimes. Not been easy on her. Huh? Leaving family and friends and a church she's been in all of her life. It's never easy on anybody. And outwardly, I don't make it too much easier on nobody. Somebody said, oh, preacher, you ought to make it easy on everybody. Oh, no, no, no. If I made it easy on you all the time, I'm going to tell you what, you'd get more laid back than ever.
Right.
I'm not going to make it too easy. I'm going to keep kicking you in the backside,
Amen.
Buddy, and keep you walking if I can.
Amen.
That's right. That's right. And you slow down, I'm going to kick you.
Amen.
There ain't no patting on the shoulder and saying, I'll sit down here under the juniper tree with you, my brother. Bull on a bunch of juniper trees.
Amen.
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 Don't sit down under Jonah's gourd.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you what I think. I think God sent him here so they can find a light.
And I'm
just being honest with you. I'm telling you this and them that we don't do everything like Brother Brock done it down there. We don't have all of the little things and this is and that. And I'm going to tell you why. Because I emphasize preaching and praying and worship in the house of God.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to tell you why I do. Little plays and little programs will put a smile on your face. But when the devil comes a knocking at your door, and a little smile is all you've got, you ain't going to make it long, son. You need an anchor down in your heart, and that anchor is the Word of God to anchor your soul in truth. That when the devil comes a knocking, son, he can't rock your boat. That's right. Don't let him rock your boat.
That's right.
Hallelujah to God. He is a rock in Paul's boat. Paul said, all hope was gone that we should be saved. But said, praise God, I got to praying, and as the angel of the Lord stood beside and said, he told me I was going to Rome, and I believe him. Hallelujah to God.
Woo!
I just about held myself a fit right there. I'll never forget when God told me his presence would go with me to Arizona. And he did.
Amen.
I'll never forget when I was in Arizona and he told me to turn eastward, and I did. I like that. I'm going to kick that thing before it's over.
Amen.
Son, I'm telling you, I get thinking about God and how he's led my life.
Amen.
And the kind of life he's given me.
Amen.
I was sitting over in the house yesterday morning, had them five little granddaughters. Three of them was on my lap just a crawling all over me. Had all of them over at one time. The whole family. I said, praise God, what more can a man ask for? God brought me to a place to give me a big family, 10 grandkids. My God, what more can a man ask for? Them little old girls were there. And I'm taking that triple dose on that medicine, you know. Man, I was as sick as a dog at my stomach, and man, I thought I was going to puke any minute. And them little kids are crying. I said, girls, I said, sit down off of Pop a minute. I said, Pop, I just don't feel good today, okay? And little old Annabelle, she said, she is standing right there beside him, and she looked up at them other little girls and said, Papa's sick. And Brooke Lee said, I know it. He's got pneumonia.
Amen.
Stand there a few minutes later, little old Hannah looked up and said, are you still sick? Brooke said, yes, he's got diabetes.
Amen.
I had to say that. What I'm saying, what more can a man ask for? Man, it's been a good trip. If God killed me right now, I'd have to say, Lord, it's been worth every mile of it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Paul prayed and found peace in the storm. I want to say the church prayed and the prison doors were open for Peter. Acts chapter number 12. Old Peter had killed Herod killed James with a sword and pleased the Jews, and he took Peter also. And on Easter day, he was going to persecute or going to kill old brother Peter. But listen to this verse. Get it now, church. When we have prayer meetings, everybody shake your head up and down. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison by prayer. Was made without ceasing. Who prayed for him, Brother Hall? I'm glad you asked. Of the church.
Amen.
Unto God. The whole church praying for Peter. And God sent an angel, woke him up, opened the cell, and brought him out.
Amen.
Now I'm going to tell you what, friend. If the church would pray, we'd see a lot more cells open.
Amen.
For sinners that are lost and saints like Peter that is saved.
Amen.
He was in bondage as a child of God.
Amen.
Now I'm going to show you how much faith we've got. The angel of the Lord let old Peter out. The gate opened on its own accord. He went out into the city, went to John Mark's house, and started knocking on the door. Little old damsel by the name of Rhoda went in there, and for a gladness, she couldn't even open the door. And she run back in the house and said, guess what? Guess what, James? Guess what, John? You ain't going to believe this. Now, I'm talking about James. I'm talking about the brother of the Lord Jesus, because James, the brother John, was dead.
Amen.
Said, you ain't going to believe this. Guess what? Peter's been out there, is standing out there at the gate. And John said, now, Rhoda, I know we've been praying that God would turn him loose, but you're mad.
Amen.
That's what the word, that's what's in there. Thou art mad. My God had been praying for him to be turned loose. And when God answered the prayer, they said, you're mad.
Amen.
Well, God don't do things like that. God don't answer people's prayer. Come on, Rhoda.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you what old Peter kept doing.
Right.
And I'm going to tell you what else. She said, oh, no. No, I'm telling you, Brother Peter's at the gate knocking. And John looked at her again and said, it's his angel. God don't answer prayers that way no more. God quit answering prayers. Didn't you know that? He quit giving abundant life. Don't you? What's the matter with you, stupid? You mean you really believe God saved your loved ones? Come on, now you can't be that ignorant. You believe God saved these little boys and girls over here? Don't be that stupid to believe that. God don't do that no more. You don't really believe God sent revival to Madisonville, Kentucky? A bunch of coal mining, black lung, emphysema, infested hillbillies.
Amen.
Well, he wouldn't answer our prayer. Who are we?
Right.
We're not John Knox, and we're not Charles Spurgeon, and we're not John Wesley. You surely, Brother Hall, you don't. I know God answered their prayer. I know God answered Paul, and I know God answered the church, but who are we? I'm going to tell you who we are. We are saved by the grace of God, sealed in the day of redemption, born again Baptist. Did you get this now? Did you get what it said? But prayer was made for the church. Prayer was made without ceasing. And I've heard all my life, 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing.
Amen.
I've heard all my life, Brother Hall, now what that means is an attitude of mind. You just got to be in a frame of mind that you can pray anytime you want to. Wrong. I want to remind you that Paul was not writing 1 Thessalonians to an individual. He wrote it to a church.
Amen.
And what he told that church is, you better be a praying church, and you better pray without ceasing, buddy. You better have somebody. I'm going to tell you something, church. If we really want to sacrifice and have somebody in this church to pray in about 16 hours out of a 24-hour day.
Amen.
Things would pick up, Robert. I bet you'd get a better job. Somebody said, oh, I'm telling you, God answers prayer. And He gives an abundant life. Will He not? Will God, does it not say that God will give us the desires of our heart?
Amen.
But I'm telling you, God can do some great and mighty things. One more thing and I'm closing. I didn't intend to get this long and wear my throat out. I won't preach tonight. But there's one more prayer that was answered in the book of Luke, chapter number 11. The Bible said there that a man said, which of you have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves.
Amen.
Go unto a friend at midnight? I'm fixing to make the application. Go to a friend at midnight and say, lend me 3 loaves. What would make a man get out of his bed at midnight? This is a type of prayer now. We're talking about praying. He went to a friend's house and said, give me 3 loaves. For a friend in his journey has come, and I don't have a thing to give him. Now, what would make a man get up at midnight and pray? We can't even get Baptists to pray at 7 o'clock on Saturday evening.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you what. There was something urgent there, buddy. He said, I got a friend and don't have nothing.
Amen.
I'm bankrupt. I'm empty. There there's nothing to set before Him. Please give me three loaves. He said, I'm empty. Now get this, and I don't want to get ahead of myself, but them last verses down there, he said, if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Ghost to them that ask Him? You know what he's saying? He said, I had an urgent request, and I was empty and had nothing. And God said, if you're empty, your life is empty and vain and void. But he said, if you ask me, I'll take where you're empty and I'll fill you with the Holy Ghost of God, but then give you an abundant life to live.
Amen.
That's right, ain't it?
Amen.
He had an urgent. His need was urgent. But in himself, he was empty. Nothing to offer. Isn't that where we're at? Where is our abundant life?
Thank God I'm saved. Hallelujah.
Look worse than I did, bless God, in that newspaper column. I'm almost ashamed, folks, to know that's me. If I'd have known it's going to look like that, I'd have had them to print, oh, so help me God, Missouri Mule over every one of them. Eating sawbriars. Hey. But look here. Need was urgent. He was empty in himself. But verses 8 through 10, Jesus said, I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is a friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask and you shall be given, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened to you. For everyone that seeketh receiveth, and everyone that asketh receiveth, he that seeketh findeth, him that knocketh it shall be opened. Now look here. He just kept knocking. He said, because he's a friend, he won't give it to him. But he just kept knocking. You know what I believe this man was so empty. And his need was so urgent. Got to have it. Lord, I've got to have it! What is it in your life you've got to have? Lord! Well, I've asked once, and God didn't do it. I'll just quit. Ask twice. Well, I've asked twice and He didn't do it. Ask again! Well, I'll ask three times, four times. How many, Brother Hall? Just keep on asking until your friend arises and gives all you need. Now, I'm here to tell you, friend, he's got enough loaves left, God, that like Israel had quail meat running out of their nostrils. You can have blessings running out of your ears.
Amen.
Doing pretty good, you ain't a little man. In other words, I wrote, he refused to fall short. He would not come up short. I will not be denied. Did you sing that old song? I will not be denied. I will not be denied. And lastly, he said, if a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him for a fish? Will he give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he give him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? You know what? Do you believe that the Lord delights in blessing you?
Amen.
How much more? If we know how to give, if us being evil know how to give good things to our children,
right,
how much more with the whole God? Look here. And He gave that man all that he needed because he was empty. And God wanted him to have abundant life. And I'm going to tell you what, it just thrilled. If I may, I believe God, I believe every time that a child of God gets filled up on the good things of God and gets running overboard, I believe to my soul that the Lord Jesus says, angels, come see, come look. That which you've never experienced is grace, but look what grace! Look what grace has done!
Amen.
for the worm that I brought out of the dunghill. He's full, lacking nothing. He's running over. If I didn't have visitors, I'd kick the candle. I don't know who owns it. No, I wouldn't. Too delicate. What is thy beloved more than another beloved? His belly is like bright ivory, overlaid with sapphires. And out of his belly flows a light that is more abundant than anything mortal man has ever experienced.
Amen.
Let's stand together. I believe I've got every drop of it in the class. What about it? How's your life today? Full? Empty? How many loaves of bread you got? When was the last time you had a prayer answered? Heavenly Father, we thank You for the morning hour. Thank You for the privilege of being in church. I pray that You'll bless us today. Lord, I want that life. Not to consume it, nor to lust, nor to sound greedy. But Lord, that I may have that which You promised and that which You desire for me to possess. Bless our people, our church. May You reach out with a hand of mercy and rescue some sinner today that stands apart from God afar off, never been brought nigh by the blood. And Father, for Thy people, help them, O God. Help them to realize the life that Christ gives, wonderful and glorious. And it's theirs for the asking. For they that ask, receive. And they that seek, find. And to them who knocketh, the door shall be opened. Bless in a special way in this hour. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.